Life's a game, the world's a stage, and we are merely role players, where theatrical people play role playing games. I'm Matt Boothman, and I'm your compere for this Main House production. Here on Merely Role Players, we improvise stories to entertain you and to entertain ourselves, because where'd the fun be otherwise? And we use role playing games to keep those stories going places even we can't see coming. Because as theatrical people, we're all about maximising the drama. This episode is part of our current Main House production, Vigil Dream Big. To tell this story, we're playing Monster of the Week, a role-playing game by Michael Sands, published by Evil Hat. So please take your seats in the Main House. Tonight's production is about to begin.
Vigil, a Merely Role Players Main House production. Dream Big, Act 2 of 4.
I'm Dave and I play Mick the Mundane. Mick is Sheridan's favourite builder, but his life has been getting weirder since he dug too deep and hit a ley line.
I'm Helen Stratton and I play Melody the Constructed. She owns Sherry Down's Cafe Cum record shop and knows how to handle a tough customer. She's got a heart of gold, which just so happens to be secondhand.
I'm Strat, and I play Briar, the Monstrous. Briar is a shape-shifting fey guardian of the Rosebriar Forest. They take their job very seriously, but can get a little distracted if there's mischief to be made.
The whole street is shaking. I think somebody's really hurt. I think I found a hand.
Mick, our only way is blocked. Quick, punch through a wall or something.
Mick shoulder barges through the obstruction and keeps going.
Briar is going to be keeping a very close eye on the ley lines and the power, because their intention is to learn more about how Mick does this in a way to try and make it so that Mick has more control over it.
This isn't one of the specific read a bad situation questions, but I'm going to ask you to spend one of those.
I can do that, yes.
Hold from that read a bad situation earlier.
Yeah.
Briar, as you're keeping an eye on the ley lines under Sheridan while this is happening, something's strange. You've been in Sheridan since the last Ice Age. You know the magical map of this county pretty darn well. You know where to find the wellsprings, you know where to follow the flows to make your fey mischievous magic work. As you extend your fey senses to try and spot Mick drawing on the ley line power, they've moved. The ley lines under Sheridan have shifted. The magical map of the town of the county has changed. But you do see, you know, it takes you a moment to hunt because the ley line is not where you expected it to be, but you see that draw of strength. Up from the nearest one into Mick.
Interesting, but a successful experiment.
And with Mick bursting out through the back entrance, light once again flooding the inside of the collapsed department store, the few remaining people inside, Sandy runs out after Mick. The couple of early morning staff who were on sheltering under their cashier's desks see the light and run out as well. And everybody who was stuck in this volatile situation manages to get out with nothing more than a few cuts and bruises, apart from possibly the owner of this arm and hand in Mick's handbag. As the general panic around town starts to subside, people start to take stock of damage and get any injured people to recovery, Melody, Mick, and Briar reconvene in Melody's shop and cafe.
I'm going to slap my bag down on the table and open up and have a look inside. Are they normal hands and arms? Or just one hand and one arm?
It's one hand, one arm. So the hand ends at the wrist, the arm ends at the shoulder and the wrist. The arm actually has a couple of cuts on it. The hand seems completely uninjured, and neither of them look recently severed. They look very neat at the ends of the joints. And I'll say also, everybody, the few customers that were in Melody's have left at this point.
Yeah.
Was there any blood?
There is a little blood from the cuts on the arm. Mm-hmm. Look like, you know, similar to the cuts that were on Sandy. They look like they've come from like flying china and glass. Mm-hmm. But from the like severed ends of this hand and limb, no blood.
It feels like this hasn't happened in the building falling down, by the looks of them.
Anybody who's examining these body parts and forming theories may roll plus sharp to investigate a mystery.
I have no plus sharp.
Yeah, nor do I.
Certainly sounds like Mick was doing that, but
not well.
Do you want to roll?
I also have zero, so Melody can take a look.
Sometimes the dice help tell a story. Because what Helen's rolled here is double sixes for a full success on an investigator mystery, which means you get to ask two questions from the investigator mystery list.
There are some questions here which I feel like Melody would already know the answer to. Do I need to ask you those?
If you want to tell me Melody's theory, and if you're right, then you don't have to spend a question on it.
Okay, so Melody's distinct impression from the neatness and the behaviour of the blood and that the parts were on different floors of the shop is that it's another constructed creature in the same way that she is a constructed creature put together.
That's Melody's working theory. It fits all the facts. These disembodied body parts are neatly severed and bloodless in exactly the same way that all of Melody's parts are when she detaches them, exactly the same as the hand earlier. And as Melody is examining these body parts, this hand and this arm, with that theory in mind, it is immediately confirmed when the hand starts moving. So you don't have to spend one of your hold on that one. You just guessed and were correct.
Amazing. Okay. So my most pressing question is, where did it go? I don't mean the hand, because we have that. I would like to know if the rest of it is in the building. Rest of them is in the building. So rude, so rude. If the rest of them is in the building, or if we know anything to suggest that they're not.
If you'll allow the hand to, it crawls to the arm and reattaches to the wrist.
Yeah.
And the whole construction takes Melody's hand in a handshake and then releases Melody's hand and makes a sort of a quizzical finger movement, asking permission to like climb up Melody's arm onto her shoulder.
Yeah, that's fine.
The hand and arm climb up onto Melody's shoulder and the hand points out of the shop.
Yeah, I feel like Mick's just not fazed by this stuff anymore, is he? He's just like, okay, whatever.
Well, we know that this is Mick's first time like interacting in any real way with Melody, and Mick has heard a lot on the Hunter grapevine about the things that Melody can do, but has never seen her do any of them. And this is like, you're still not seeing Melody do any of them, but this is like very akin to the things that you've been told to expect.
Yeah, and it's similar to when Mick was interacting with Briar for the first time, of like, well, this person knows much more about this stuff than me. Let's just see what happens.
So Mick's going with the flow.
Yeah,
as is Mick's MO.
While that has happened, Briar, who has gone back to Robin Goodfellow, so they're tall enough, has been stood behind Mick with a tape measure, measuring his shoulder width and his height. Pops their head over the shoulder, go, oh! You've got a friend, then? Or at least another like you?
It looks like...
I've got an idea. Robin goes over and swipes a load of stuff off of the counter. No need to. Just to make more of a mess. Grabs a pen and paper and puts the paper down, puts the pen into the hand. Won't you introduce yourself?
First things first. As Briar's measuring Mick, Briar finds that Mick is larger than the last time Briar surreptitiously measured Mick. Broader across the shoulders, maybe nearly a foot taller. And Mick's glasses were broken in the charge through the boulders out the back of the door, but he doesn't seem fazed by the fact that he's not wearing them anymore.
Hasn't even noticed. Can still see.
As Briar puts a pen in the hand, Briar, can you roll Investigate Mystery, please?
Ooh.
It's also a zero. We're all zero. None of us are good at investigating mysteries. 6, 7, 8, 9. What's being concealed here?
You give the hand a pen and ask it to introduce itself.
Mm-hmm.
Scampers down Melody's arm again onto the table to where the paper is. The elbow rests on the back of a chair as the and the wrist rests on the edge of the table as the hand begins to write. And it writes in beautifully neat, legible handwriting. Hello, nice to meet you. My name is Diane.
I would like an answer to what was it going to do?
I am a friend, or would like to be. I am here to observe the resurrection.
Resurrection of what? Or whom?
Attempted resurrection of Leif. Spells it L-E-I-F.
Anybody know Leif? Leif
doesn't ring any bells for me.
Yes, it does.
Oh, it does ring a bell for me.
Big old bell.
Rings a bell for me.
And it's not that you've ever heard this name before, Mick, but as soon as you see it written down, it just fits the presence that you feel every time you call on that strength. And that voice that spoke to you as you travelled through the ley line that one time. It just fits the giant under Sheridan perfectly.
Briar, I think it's the giant we rode in.
How did you know? Do you have some form of connection that I was, up until this point, completely unaware of?
I think so. I mean, I heard it talk, and I think I can feel it when I do stuff.
Ooh, okay.
Big stuff, not normal stuff.
As though it's coming up through the ground when perhaps you're in danger or other people are?
That sounds about right. You sound like you know a lot about this.
No, just educated guess. You've been around long as I have. You know, giants, mortals, this stuff happens all the time.
But do we want to meet Leif?
I don't know. I mean, we've met him. He seemed perfectly nice. I mean, he's moved around a bit. He's a bit getting a bit little restless in his sleep. I think the ley lines have shifted, whatnot.
Well, I suppose we'll probably... Sorry, we'll talk to Diane as well. Do you need help?
Thank you. Does Diana need help? That's the precise question. Melody's just sat looking quizzically at these two, being all excited about a giant that she doesn't know necessarily exists, but she has got an arm friend called Diane.
While you've all been talking, Diane's hand has continued to write, "Would you like to be friends?"
Yes. Melody's not good at friends, but she would like to try.
Drops the pen and once again points a few times out of the door.
I'm going to go out of the door now. What are you doing?
Yeah, should we try and pretend this is my, like, hide it as a hand so that people don't get spooked? And I'll put it in my sleeve?
I hadn't even thought of that. I hadn't assumed that the hand was going to go.
Oh, we're just going to go to where the hand's pointing.
I think the hand.
The hand will help us.
The hand's going to...
If you start to leave without the hand, it starts to make alarmed, like, opening and closing fist gestures, like a little alarm going off.
And we might need it to be able to point wherever it senses what it wants us to find. So we can't put it back in the bag.
No.
No.
So shall we Muppet Man him? Her.
Sure.
<It. laughs> yes.
I love that plan a lot, especially if it's Mick, because Mick is so beefy. And we haven't described the hand in great detail yet, but it is quite a slender hand.
I mean, it could not be Mick.
Let's go with it.
I did say he had a vest on earlier, so it's probably not ideal. Yeah.
Briar takes it and puts it up in their sleeve as Robin Goodfellow. And gives them a wide grin.
And does Briar pull their actual hand into the sleeve, or do they just have two hands sticking out of the sleeve now?
For now, it is pulled into the sleeve.
Wonderful. So, still using the answer to that, where did it go, investigator mystery question, the three of you exit Melodies onto Market Street. You see emergency vehicles have started to pull up. Cones are out around that subsided bit of High Street already. Cleanup is beginning. People are starting to tape up broken shop front windows. And the hand pointing out of Briar's sleeve just guides the three of you on a little tour out of the centre of Sheridan into some of the residential areas. Actually, sort of following the roads, down an alley, round a corner, through a little copse of woodland, it seems to be taking you on a route that passes by at least a couple of Brixie sculptures. These are the unusual modern art, guerrilla bricklaying pieces that have been appearing around Sheridan since the beginning of our story every time Mick has a blackout. Still no proof that he's the one making them. So they have been attributed for now simply to Brixie. But it directs you past a couple of these sculptures and paying off a little more of this, what is being concealed here, question. Something's different about the Brixie sculptures. Each one that you pass has a almost not noticeable thin net of electrical wiring over it, woven through the brickwork, that all ends at cable that then runs to the nearest telegraph pole and up it. And you realise that the hand is sort of pointing on this route, following the cable along the telegraph pole until it comes down to another Brixie that seems to have been wired up with this electrical network over it, and then up to another. At the third wired up Brixie that you find on this little mini Sheridan tour, you find a woman leaning up against it. She is about Melody's height. She's wearing a blazer and a hoodie with the hood up. You can just see some red hair out from under the hood. She has one hand in her pocket. And as you get closer, you can see that she's also wearing an eye patch. She seems to clock the hand in Briar's sleeve before she actually makes eye contact with any of you and reaches out with her free hand towards it.
Briar picks it out from their sleeve and, using it to wave, says, "Hello, Diane, I assume. I believe this must be yours." And hands it over.
"Yes, hello, greetings. It's so nice to meet all of you. My name is Diane. What is all of your names?"
My name's Mick. Hello. Nice to meet you, Diane.
As I am currently, everybody will know me as Robin. So we'll go with that for now.
I'm Melody. Don't mind him.
What a strange way to introduce yourself.
He's a strange individual.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be impolite.
No. That was certainly a way of saying hello. Very by the book.
And she takes the offered hand, rearranges, sort of unzips her hoodie and pulls what is basically a load of newspaper out of the sleeve of the arm that had the hand stuck in her pocket, and reattaches in exactly the same way people have seen Melody do this before, just puts the shoulder up to her shoulder and they seamlessly reattach. Yes, of course, Melody, you need no introduction.
What do you mean by that?
He's told me a lot about you. There's a portrait of you up in the lab.
Who's told you what?
Dr. Bantham.
I think what's happening with Melody is that she's grasping at half of a memory at this point. Why she doesn't necessarily remember everything, I'm not 100% clear on, but I don't think these names and lab and everything is immediately making sense in the way that somebody who 100% remembered everything would immediately make sense.
For one thing, it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I think we're at nearly 200 years. Yeah. So it makes sense that a lot of this would be a little bit hazy.
Yeah.
Oh. But there will be plenty of time to catch up about that. Thank you for bringing back the rest of me. A little embarrassing that it got lost.
Why was it in the shop, Diane?
Because the shop is near Melody. But I got interrupted on the way there.
That makes sense.
Does it?
Does that happen a lot in this part of the country, where the ground shakes and everything falls down?
We were all pretty surprised by that.
I think it may be a symptom of the attempted resurrection.
You mentioned this. Is that why you're here?
Yes, he's very interested in unusual methods of resurrection, and nobody's tried to do it with a giant before.
Might I ask, who this Dr. Bantham is? And also, what do you mean, who's trying? Who's trying to do it? Because Mick is, you know, giant or whatever, but it didn't sound like he was trying to do anything in the shop. He was mostly dealing with a terrible, unfortunate, completely coincidental incident.
Who is doing it is part of what I'm here to try to find out. Because I would like to ask them how they learned the knowledge of how to do it and what the different parameters and potential things that could go wrong are. I have to take a lot of notes.
What are they trying to resurrect?
The giant.
It's... Melody's going to look at the other two and say, there's a dead giant?
No, I don't think he's dead. He's mostly sleeping. We've met him. Perfectly charming.
Right.
But if he does stand up, well, we're on top of him. And when I say we, I mean we and then quite a large swathe of the countryside.
Okay.
Dr. Bantham says that giants are a funny extra special case because they are all dead, but giants live so slowly that their last heartbeat can last hundreds of years. So they're sort of sleeping and dying at the same time, and probably will be for another few hundred years yet. So he's very interested in resurrection on these unique things.
And what are you trying to... I know you're here to find this stuff out, but what are you actually doing right now, right here?
Right here, I think these monoliths have something to do with the resurrection method.
Mick's going to take a closer look at the... Has this one been mesh covered as well?
This one's been wired up.
So he's going to go and take a peek at the mesh.
Roll plus sharp.
11. What was it going to do, but what is it going to do is the question, the first one.
This is the first you've seen of these being wired up, but I think, I don't know whether Mick didn't remember, was in denial or whatever, but I think something is clearer to Mick now than it was before, and you've got a good sense of where around town all of these bricksy sculptures are. Okay, you've got like a good mental map of where they're all located. Let's make this canon right now. Mick built all of these in a fugue state.
Yay!
Without knowing why, or why you were doing it, why you were putting them in the particular places that you were putting them. But something in this moment clicks, where there's a physical change in you, there's a sort of easier access to this power. And as you sort of touch this, you're sort of latently tapping into that ley line power again. In your mind, you see the location of all of these Brixies, and you see that sort of laid on the map of Sheridan, and then you see sort of laid under that the sleeping, dreaming, slumbering, dying form of the giant under Braxia. And you see that these sculptures are located at pressure points, or like acupuncture points or chakras kind of things, on the giant's form. And as you see that these have been wired up, the thing that comes to mind is the idea of a defibrillator. That you have been building the infrastructure for a giant defibrillator, and somebody has come along and added the wiring necessary to charge it all up.
Has the shifting of the ley lines affected their location, or did that shift it into...
Shifted it into alignment.
Right. Mick will relay that information to mostly Briar. I kind of say, this, it's got something to do with these. This is, these sculptures are what's going to do it. Somebody's going to use these to bring the giants back, or the giant back. I don't know how we stop it, if we want to stop it.
Well, I think we
probably do.
Kind of do. Yes. My forest is not going to do well out of this, so I'm all in for stopping it.
Oh no.
Diane, did you put this up?
No. I thought you seem to know how it works. Did you not put it up? I'm sorry if that's a rude question.
not that I remember doing. I think I'm connected to them in some way, but I don't remember wiring them up recently, because this feels new.
So you did the bricks, but not the wires?
I think so.
But you don't want to use it?
No, I don't think so.
But I need to observe the technique to report back to the doctor.
Well, this is the technique. You build this thing, you turn it on.
Job's a good one.
Yes, exactly. So just report that to him. All's well. And then we can... You know, this is purely a theoretical situation here. We don't need to go into the practical...
Oh, no. Practical experimentation is very important.
Well, you know, these things can't be rushed. And I like my forest.
Roll plus charm. -1.
Am I trying to manipulate?
You are trying to manipulate.
Then I roll weird!
Oh, yes, you do. It's still -1.
Okay, well, it's +3. So. oh, no! that's 6, 7, 8, 9. So it's still an 8.
An 8, okay. She won't just do it because you're asking. She won't just leave off because you're asking. And I think I know what the extra is. I must have some... good news or data to report back to the doctor. Otherwise, this is my first trip out into the world, and I don't want it to go badly, because then I might not be able to have any more. So if I cannot have the data about what happens when this technique is activated, then Melody, perhaps you would... come back with me. I'm sure that would be pleasing.
No.
I think Melody quite likes it here. He's interested in resurrection, you say?
Oh, very.
Well, I happen to know two very good friends of mine that were fairly recently killed. And they came back to life. I did that myself in the forest. I'm sure they would love to have a little chat with you. They're quite young at the moment, again, but, you know, they're perfectly friendly. How about them?
She's mostly not listening to Briar. Her attention's mostly on Melody, and it's just a kind of... It's a quizzical look, like she does not know how to respond to that refusal. Like, it's completely unexpected to her that you would say no.
So where is it that you are asking me to go? Where have you come from?
Back to Dr. Bantham's lab.
Where is that in relation to here?
The other end of the country. Yes, I had to come here on a train and then two taxis.
Why? So where did the first taxi put you?
This is the weirdest thing we've encountered this entire day.
We're going to get really stuck on this now. How did you travel?
You know, yes, let's just forget about that.
Taxis are hard. Taxis are difficult. Taxis are totally difficult. Get that.
Yeah. Right, so I'm not going to go with you, and we're not going to do this resurrection because we don't know how. But if you would like, you can come with us while we work out what is going on. Of how these, who put these wires here in the first place. That might be very useful to know.
Yes, yes, I'd like to find that out.
Okay, so you can stay with us. It's nice to have a new friend. And I'm looking at you two with a specific look that is trying to tell you that we're just going to pretend with Diane that she is our friend for now because it makes her not our foe.
So Diane, what friends do is they get in the back of my van. Would you like to get in the back of the van for now?
If that's what friends do.
Oh, that's what friends do. Yep, jump in there. And as she's getting in, I'm going to get out my hammer and I'm going to run at the big monolith and try and break it.
Incredible.
I was thinking to break the monolith. Hey. Friends think in the same way.
Do you want to get in on this?
I'd like to see how Mick gets on with it.
You like to watch me fail first.
No limits.
9, which okay. Is good enough, I think.
Yeah, you can do it, but you either do it, but I get hurt, or it exhausts you.
I think I will be hurt.
I think the harm is coming from the fact that you're attacking something that is so intrinsically linked to the giant that you are also linked to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost. As you lay about this sculpture with your hammer, does it take more than one swing or do you just smash the whole thing apart with one?
I think it's just a big smash.
Mm-hmm.
Like it did with the your moss friend. Just breaks everywhere.
Just identify a weak spot.
Yeah.
That you maybe unconsciously put there for this very reason. Smash the thing apart. And it feels almost like you've kind of ripped an electrode off your own body. There's an electrical feeling kind of zap, like electricity earthing through you into the ground as this thing comes apart.
So that's yeah, one harm. But that one sculpture is at least broken.
Yes.
My
sort of still held together by the lacework of wires around it, but all of the mortar is basically shivered apart. You could give this thing a good kick and some of the bricks would fall out.
Oh, I feel like that's a start at least. I guess the hope is that this is going to annoy whoever's done this into revealing themselves to us.
Mm-hmm.
So should we go and do another one?
While we drive in Mick's van to do another one, Robin will put two fingers to his ear. Ginger, need you please.
Coming!
Let's have a long conversation with Ginger.
Patiently wait.
Ginger, who is a fairy.
Yep.
The length of somebody's middle finger.
Mm-hmm.
Glowing, bright yellowy green. Little dragonfly wings, and otherwise a kind of tiny little humanoid figure in a pixie cut, flies in through the window of the moving van. Is there enough room in the... So have you got Diana in the back with the tools and the three of us?
Like friends, that's what friends do.
Yeah.
Ginger zips in through the open passenger window of the van.
Ah, excellent. You're everywhere, all the time, noticing what's going on. You know, the what the mortals refer to as Brixies everywhere? You know those? Excellent. They've got funny wire things on them. The stuff that the mortals have learned to put electricity through.
Yes, that's new!
Yes. You haven't heard, possibly, who has been doing that, or seen who is doing that, have you?
Yes, I've seen who's doing that. They're actually following the van right now.
Oh! Well, that is certainly useful. Description, please?
Just look in the mirror.
I have to move my head, Ginger. Couldn't you just tell me? Fine. And I look in the mirror.
You can see there is another van following Mick, and it's almost identical to Mick's van until you turn a corner and can therefore see the other van side on instead of front on.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that where Mick's van says Mick's Bricks on the side, this one says Becky's Lecky.
Ginger, it just looks like a van. I can't see Becky. Is it Becky? Is it Becky's Lecky?
Yeah, it's Becky.
Mick, do you know Becky?
We've crossed paths. We've worked the same jobs. We've been in, you know, I've been doing some brickwork while somebody's fixing a light or whatever.
Okay.
Renovation projects. I don't know her well.
Right. Well, I don't like this whole following us thing.
Well, should we see if she's actually following us and I swing a hard left?
Roll plus cool, please, for act under pressure.
Oh, that's a 6. Yeah, I mean, we go, like, you know those, like, through little lanes that are all stairs? So I swing in front of those, go all the way down the stairs, and then she's just at the bottom because you just drive around the corner.
Beautiful. Yeah.
It's, like, it's not even a lot of corner that you've cut off.
I've cut nothing off. I've made it longer.
As Mick's van is juddering down the stairs, you can see her out of the window, the Becky's Lecky van, swinging around at a leisurely pace to cut you off on the
shout,
bottom.
Hold tight, Diane!
The taxis were not like this.
This is true friendship!
As the van judders to a halt at the bottom of this staircase, the cab of the other van opens and out steps Becky Miller, local electrician about town, dressed very similarly to Mick. And actually kind of similarly built. So sort of wearing like overalls, but with the sleeves tied together at the waist, sort of the top half of the overalls off, a vest.
Mm-hmm. No glasses.
No glasses.
No.
Hair tied back, looking sort of pretty sort of like windburned and sunburned from working outside a lot. Steps out of her cab and yells, you can hear through the open window of your cab, "What gives?"
Sorry, there was a cat and I had to swerve. The van's okay, don't worry.
I don't mean about that. What's going on with the smashing?
Oh, they're just such an eyesore, aren't they?
She advances. Are you just staying in the cab and leaning out to have this conversation, or are you getting out?
Okay, I guess at the moment we don't know if she's a threat. The van might still drive, so it might be a good getaway option to just have it there ready to drive away in.
As you're running through these options, if you'd like, you can roll sharp to read a bad situation and get some answers to some of these questions.
Ooh, I'll do that then. I'm very good at sharp.
Yeah, you are.
5.
She walks up. As you're opening the door to get out, she just slams the door back shut on you, and you match strength. With Mick pushing from the inside, her pushing from the outside, she wins in this moment, slams the door back shut on you, and with her other hand in almost the same movement, pulls a screwdriver out of her overalls pocket and lets down your tyres.
Jeez. Becky!
Your van's just going to stay here while I go and fix what you've just broken so we can get back on track, all right?
Have you done all of the others? You know, like we need to.
That's not going to fly after what you just did, what you just pulled, Mick. I thought we were on the same side. I thought we were on the same page. I thought we were colleagues helping each other out here for a mutual client. But it seems like you're best kept where you are while I go and complete the job.
lovies, it's me, Matt, your compere. I hope you enjoyed Act 2 of Vigil Dream Big. There will now be an interval of 2 weeks before Act 2. Next week we invite you backstage to hear Dave's character creation. Long awaited! I put together this episode that's coming up next week backstage while putting this whole production together and went, I'll look back through the Merely Roleplayers feed to see how I described Dave's original character creation episode for Mick so that I can echo that in the description for next week's episode. And that's when I realised we've never aired Mick's original character creation recorded with Dave in lockdown several years ago at this point. So first of all, sorry Dave and everybody else who's in that episode helping us create Mick. And second of all, you all get a bumper backstage episode next week with the original character creation for Mick using the Mundane playbook and the new character creation we recorded during this production with his brand new playbook that he switched to. In other news, the Crit Awards, the Creator Recognition in Tabletop RPGs Awards, are still open for nominations until the end of May. Everything that we've released on Merely Roleplayers from the beginning of January 2023 to the end of March 2024 is eligible, which is a huge great body of work that contains things that you could nominate for such diverse categories as Best Podcast, Best Series, Best Player Indie, Best Game Master Indie, Best Podcast Host, Best Non-Player Character, or Best Villain. If you already know from those dates and that list of categories what you think you might want to nominate, go right ahead. Follow the link in the programme notes to the Crit Awards nominations form. Or if you're still not sure, there's also a link in the programme notes to a great big long post that lists absolutely everything we've done that you could possibly want to nominate. Stay tuned now for the credits and this episode's epilogue. But first, let's just take a quick look at the ad in our programme this week, which is for Snyder's Return. If you've been listening for a while, you'll have heard me talk about Snyder's Return before. You might even have heard the episode where I was interviewed on Snyder's Return about our horror festival live show Lights Out a few years ago. It's a podcast that combines interviews and some actual play role-playing game episodes as well. Here's Adam from Snyder's Return, who you might also recognise from our Instagram Reels exclusive production The Feed last year, where he played a Big Brother housemate, with a little bit more about Snyder's Return.
Snyder's Return is a tabletop roleplay interview and actual play podcast. We chat with content creators from both mainstream and indie publishers, and we release actual play episodes of systems like our City of Mist game, Meddlers, Monsters and Madmen, and more games coming in the future. We also have a TTRPG review show on YouTube, Fly Like a D6. Come and check us out. You can find us on Twitter, at Return Snyder, Instagram, Snyders_Return. You can find us on YouTube, at Snyder's Return, Discord, and everywhere you get your podcasts.
It stars Helen Stratton as Melody Bantham, Dave as Mick Mason, and Strat as Briar. I'm Matt Boothman and I play the supporting cast. Editing and sound design by me, and the theme music is by Alexander Pankhurst. We were playing Monster of the Week, a role-playing game by Michael Sands, published by Evil Hat Productions. You can find Monster of the Week at genericgames.co.nz. Merely Role Players is a Foggy Outline production in association with Blackshaw Theatre Company. Until next time, if drama be the food of life, play on. My name's Ronnie. Just Ronnie, all right. I don't care if you are independent, citizen, whatever. You ain't get my full name. And I'm between jobs. I'm job seeking, all right. Anyone listening to this, you got any jobs going? I'm looking. As long as you ain't got nothing weird or shady going on, you know what I mean? Because, like, I used to work Diner's Delight, you know, on Market Street. And that was fine. But that shut down after my boss Beryl died in those floods. And that was sort of weird, because the place where they found her body had been underwater, but she was all burned up. So then I get this job on reception at that new building on Duke Square, London Group or Lumber Group or whatever. But then same week I started, there's this fire in the top floor office, or maybe a break-in, or maybe both, like arson. So they send us all home for our safety, and they never call me up for any more shifts after that. And that was the day after everyone saw that golden eyes thing, the biblically accurate angel or whatever, right over the office. And look, we all saw it, right? No point pretending we didn't. Let's just accept it and move on. Right above my head saying, better the devil you know. And then my job blows up. And that got me thinking back even further to when that creep rent-a-cop tried to have a go at me that one time, chasing me off the golf course, barking and stuff. And it's just like, all this stuff keeps happening to me, blowing up my life. All these signs and these weird messed up warnings. And this would have felt weird to say before, but now, you know, like, angels in the sky. So, yeah, I think I might be the chosen one.